Okay, now we're going to move on through the 17th century, and it appears from these images that utility is giving over to beauty. Artists recorded rare flowers in gardens of the wealthy at this time period, and new plants were often introduced as a result of expeditions and colonialism. What's the reproduction technique we're looking at here?
Well, we're moving away from the woodcut, that was the raised surface, and moving into incised surfaces. And this was expressed in the technique of metal plate engraving. The way that was done was that a V-shaped tool was used to carve the design into a metal plate, and then the plate would be inked and wiped with a wet cloth or wet sponge. And so the ink would remain in the grooves of the plate. Then the plate could be put through a press. And of course, since you're pressing the paper into the grooves of the paper, you had to use a very strong, very firm press, and you also had to wet the paper so that the paper would go into the grooves, and the part of the design that would be printed would be the part where the grooves were. And this technique was a very expensive and time-consuming technique, but you could produce very delicate effects that way. A modification of this technique was the technique of etching, where you could take a metal plate and cover it with a surface like resin, which was a bit softer than the metal. You'd scratch a design into the resin, then you would put the whole plate into an acid bath. The acid bath would leave the resin alone, but it would cut out little grooves where the design had been carved in, and then you could use that as your metal plate. So that was a little bit easier to do. But in either case, there was one big disadvantage of using the engraving technique, and that was with the wet paper and with the paper being forced into the grooves, that you couldn't print a large solid area of any kind. So if you wanted a colored illustration, you really had to have it hand colored.
Look to the right in those plates from Curtis's Botanical Magazine. Look at how beautifully done these are. These are really incredible, and the expertise clearly shows. I'm curious, was the hand coloring done by professional artists in these?
Not necessarily. Often at this time, publishers were trying to save as much money as they could, and they had already had to pay this craftsman for making the plate. So what they would do was they would hire people that wouldn't charge very much for their labor, and these could have been children, and sometimes they were also distressed gentlewomen. This was work that they could do at home, that the women could do at home, and also drew upon artistic talent and artistic training that was common among women of that period.
If you look closely, again, look to the right there, you can see the hand-painted detail. And if you look closely, you can even see where brush strokes jumped outside the lines just a little bit. Technically, you could call that a mistake, but I kind of like it. I feel as if it adds to the personal touch of the illustration.
In fact, some artists preferred amateurs with the idea that another professional wouldn't be able to copy a model as accurately because he would be too opinionated. So hiring lesser artists was both an economic and an aesthetic issue.
I know that you have a somewhat sad story to share with us about Robert Thornton and the Temple of Flora, a book that was created in a similar time period.
Yes, Robert Thornton was a doctor with a successful practice in London who was trying to keep up his botanical knowledge by reading books by Linnaeus. And he became so impressed by Linnaeus that his idea was to change focus completely and create a beautiful, beautiful book to do honor to the world of botany. So what he did was he got together the best artists of the time period, the best engravers, the most talented writers, and produced this very beautiful, very luxurious book. Unfortunately, the book cost so much to make that he was unable to sell it to recoup his losses. So, and he was a bit of an entrepreneur, what he decided to do was hold a lottery. And he created a less expensive edition of the book, and people were supposed to buy chances so that they might win one of these books in the lottery edition. But unfortunately, even that wasn't successful. Not enough people bought lottery tickets. So poor Robert Thornton died in bankruptcy.
Now, the ultimate irony to this is, of course, that you can't even get your hands on a copy of this book now, can you?
No. If you wanted to buy a first edition of Temple of Flora, you would probably have to go to a fine art auction house like Christie's or Sotheby's. The lottery edition once I found on sale on the internet, but it was well over $100,000 to buy. And it's too bad that Thornton couldn't have lived to see this. The copy that we have here of the Temple of Flora does not belong to Mann Library, but is lent to us courtesy of the Kroc Library.
We've looked at some truly lovely hand-painted images. Now let's contrast those with some of the more scientific, botanical, delicate dissections. Look to the right at Schmiedel's work and just scan through the delicacy of some of these images. Some of them are very, very tiny and very carefully rendered. These are very different from the next set of images that we have to show you, which are a much more practical, how-to kind of approach. In fact, I have to laugh when I look at this book because I just think of it as very near and dear and very much revered by those of us in the Department of Horticulture.
These are how-to plates. The author of this book was Jean de la Quintanie, who was the fruit and vegetable gardener of Louis XIV. Here's another beautiful French work. This is by Antoine Pointeau, who started out as a botanist but ended up illustrating some of the most important botanical publications in the early 19th century. One thing I'd like you to look at up close, you see the abbreviation PINX and then the word Poitou next to it. That means that Poitou was the original artist of the work. And then when you look over at the other side of the plate and you see the Latin abbreviation SCULPT, that means this person was the person who was the actual engraver.
Unfortunately, many people destroy these lovely old books for the images. I mean, you've seen the beautiful images we've shared with you, and they'll take apart them and frame them individually, and it's a real horror. I'm sure you've had the experience of going into an old bookstore and just seeing individual plates that are sold. They're sold for framing and putting on the wall at home. Linda, what do you think about this? I
Well,
mean,
it's very sad to see books being so degraded, and also, it's sad to separate the pictures of a book from the context.